صلوات 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 على محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. Inshallah, for his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our beloved Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this greatest of blessings. Tonight is the night that we commemorate the mab'ath of the Prophet, the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the entire world with a message, with a guidance that was new, that was unprecedented, and it was one that was going to last until the Day of Judgment, at a time that was very difficult, at a location, at a place, in a region that ignorance, jahiliyyah, which is the reign of the nafs, desires, over the intellect, over the rationale. Instead of listening to the voice of reason, listening to our desires. That's what jahiliyyah means. Ignorance is not the absence of knowledge. Jahiliyyah or jahl is not the opposite of ilm, it's the opposite of aql, kitabul aql wal jahl. In Al-Kafi we have. Jahiliyyah is a time where desires take control, even if you have knowledge. And that's why we live in the modern age of jahiliyyah. There's a lot of sciences, there's a lot of developments, there's a lot of technology, but still we see that it is under the control of desires, the lower desires. And therefore, instead of it being used to help humanity, it is used to oppress humanity. Instead of when you discover something that is helpful to others, instead of sharing it with others, as this is a rizq from Allah and you should give to others, God taught you, God gave you that knowledge, you would want to limit it, charge people prices that they cannot afford, and based on that, consider yourself above and beyond and rule over others, limit them, oppress them, steal their resources. This is the age that we live in. So, bi'tha and mab'ath is not something that was beneficial 1400 years ago. This is still an occasion that needs to be commemorated for today. And we've got to seek to, inshallah, through these commemorations, bring the message of mab'ath, the message of Islam, this great guidance from Allah that will cause humanity to be able to prosper in this world and in the hereafter. Not only in the hereafter, Religion is not only for the mosque and to pray and to ask Allah to give us in the hereafter. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rewards right here. The Quran is very clear. Those who want the akhirah, Allah will give them in the dunya and the akhirah. Those who want the dunya, God says, I will give whomever I wish the amount that I wish. But if you want the akhirah, you will get the dunya and the akhirah. It's for this world and the hereafter. It's not something which is limited to the hereafter. So we should look at Mab'ath, this occasion, in this way and try to absorb the energy of this night, the blessings that are descending from the heavens, to gain that energy, to be able to be part of the process of Mab'ath. There's an individual as the leader. The Prophet was the leader of this movement. He led Mab'ath. He was himself raised above and beyond, and then he pulled everyone else. And the true companions of the Imam of our time joined that. Not only do they ascend, they help others. If you look at Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira, there's many references. Oh Allah, make us of those that the 12th Imam will make use of in his government, that will spread justice. We want, inshallah, to have that. Not because we're looking for those positions, because whoever looks for that will not get it. Whoever humbles themselves, whoever realizes that they have nothing to offer and everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are there only to serve, not for any type of respect, they are the ones that will be given those responsibilities. And it will be very tough. And this is why we're saying, let's take advantage of these nights. All these du'as that we have for these nights are not just lines in Arabic to read and quickly get over with. These are du'as, supplications, because tonight is a very blessed night. And we need to take advantage of that. We need that extra assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want to ascend as well. Mab'ath is a very important occasion. What I want to talk about are two things. One is related to the bi'tha of the Prophet himself as an individual, the process of the Prophet coming to a stage, to a point where he became Rasulullah. The Prophet was always, according to accounts, numerous accounts, in his material form, he was already a Nabi, which means that Prophet, the angels spoke to him. We have plenty of accounts on that, that's very clear. And this is only looking at it from a material perspective. Brothers and sisters, please be careful with that. What we believe with regards to the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet above and beyond, and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, is that there is an existence of theirs which is above and beyond their form of light that was created. That's the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which everything else has come into existence. And so there are certain aspects of their existence that we can speak about, and they are there. They're non-material forms, above and beyond forms that need to be understood. What we're talking about is the material form. There's certain terms that I'm not really the best to discuss. The arc of descent and then the arc of ascent. Those are things that other sessions, scholars that can discuss that will discuss. We're looking at it from the material aspect of the Prophet. Even from that perspective, if Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, received revelation, he spoke to his mother before he was born, according to some, and upon birth, according to others. The Prophet ﷺ was above all prophets, even from that aspect. So we need to understand that, put everything into perspective. So he's a Nabi, but the process he went through, that at age 40, he became Rasulullah, the one that God sent to mankind. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. According to Surah Al-Fath that we mentioned the other night as well. The process that he reached where he became Rasulullah is important for us to analyze so we can benefit from. That's one part of the talk, inshallah. Briefly, I'll discuss, touch on a few points. And the other part, inshallah, our responsibility as the followers, and we're going to refer to Surah Al-Jum'ah or Al-Jum'ah for that purpose. Recite a salawat, please. There is a tafsir that's been attributed to Imam Al-Askari, salamullahi alayhi. We've seen scholars that I respect their opinions because they are careful with the source and the reference they use. They're experts in the field of Rijal and other studies that are required to be able to distinguish between what's true and what's a fabrication in Hadith. I saw one of these scholars making reference to this particular book regarding the process of the ascension and the elevation of the Prophet up to the point where he became Rasulullah. And it says that at age 40, God looked at the heart of the Prophet and saw that the heart of the Prophet was the purest of hearts. He was in the cave worshiping, and that worship did not start at that age. It was something that started earlier. From the beginning, in different forms, the form of worship that the Prophet had before this religion as a religion was given to him, before this revelation was sent down to him, the form of it was different. The essence is the same. The form is different. And the forms of worship that the Prophet went through were different in throughout those stages of development. Again, the human form. There were times that the Prophet would go, according to the hadith, to the cave. And from there, he would observe. He would observe. Observing what? Observing the signs of Allah. Ayat of Allah. What are the ayat of Allah? Everything that you can see. From that elevation, from that cave, what he would see was the desert and the heavens, the sky, looking up during the night, the stars, during the day, the clouds and the sun. إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And the rest of the verses, the rest of the words in that verse, the change of day and night, the alteration of day and night, the clouds when you see them, all of these are signs of Allah, ayat of Allah. He would observe them as ayat of Allah. We see ayat of Allah, we don't see them as signs of the divine. We see them as beautiful mountains. They've taught us to refer to them as nature. Okay, and we're looking at nature like, what a beautiful thing. Some have even called it Mother Nature. No, this is manifestation of Allah. It's an ayah, a sign of Allah. The Quran mentions on multiple occasions. One of those occasions is interesting. It says, إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ. If I get the wording right, I may be a little off. I'm going to try my best from my memory. أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. The difference in your colors, in your language, that's a sign of Allah. When you see different colors, don't feel bad. Don't feel racism. The Quran says this, an ayah of Allah. You're all human beings, yet you're all human beings, yet you have different colors, different sizes, different languages. It's an ayah of Allah. Everything is an ayah of Allah. The Prophet used to observe the ayat of Allah. He used to give charity. We mentioned this last night. According to the account, when the Prophet made all the money he did in, on his business trip, he gave it all. And I'm quoting one of the ulama who's done the research. He said he gave it all away, not partially. And the entire amount he gave. He gave everything. It's not only his Ahlul Bayt that the only thing they had was the bread they had. And when on three nights they were fasting, they gave that bread away. The Holy Prophet started that before anyone else. He gave everything. These are the different worships that the Prophet was engaged in. Working, spending time with the less privileged, with the poor, with the ill in Mecca. People that nobody cared for. Quraysh especially, treated as animals. The Prophet used to spend time with these people. This is part of the process of preparation. And this is important. Remember, we said we're mentioning this because we need to learn from this. The Prophet went through stages of development, his human form. Until, according to the account from Imam al-Askari in this book, it says at age 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he looked at the heart of the Prophet and found it to be the purest of all hearts. And so he ordered the gates of the heavens to open and the angels to descend. And the Prophet started observing immaterial signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was observing before that all the material signs. Everything he saw was a reminder of Allah. Everything was a manifestation of Allah. He observed that for years. Now at this point, God opened the gates of the heavens and the angels descended. And now the Prophet is observing. One of the names, and I think this is what you are more familiar with, of this night, you know it as Mi'raj, although historically I'm not sure if Mi'raj happened on this night, unless this is what is meant. Unless this is what is meant. But the Mi'raj I'm referring to is what is found in two chapters in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى, and the other in Surah Al-Najm, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى, if I got the wording correctly. That Mi'raj, which according to my understanding from what I have seen, is one of the instances of the ascension of the Prophet. The Prophet would ascend and see signs that we have trouble comprehending, how this wall, how this fan, how these people, how us, everything material is a sign of Allah. The Prophet ascended and he seen signs of Allah that are immaterial, we cannot even describe them. All the ahadith that we have on the Mi'raj of the Prophet about the angels looking one way or the other, when the Prophet went to and visited and saw hellfire and people who were in there, what it looked like, what it looked like the people in paradise, the angels working and so on and so forth, it makes very little sense to us. Just the descriptions that we get, we can't even conceptually properly understand them. And that is a very limited part of what the Prophet saw. There's a process of ascension and development that the Prophet went through. It involved purifying the nafs, giving away everything, making sure there's no attachment, observing the signs of Allah, remembering Allah, dhikr. So when at age 40 he became the leader of the movement, he's already developed into the strongest person throughout history. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Throughout history, the greatest man in the toughest, harshest environment, the most ignorant of people, without a father, with very difficult poverty that he had to deal with, that we have no clue, and other hardships. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Jum'ah, he mentions this, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, al-Malik al-Quddus al-Aziz al-Hakim, huwa alladhi ba'atha fi al-ummiyyin rasulan minhum. Allah can make someone of the ummis, those who were not taught, those who had lost connection with the pure teachings of Ibrahim, their forefather, and Ismail. They had lost touch. In those harsh circumstances, this Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings to us that today, with all the advancements, we are still not even comparable to the dust beneath the feet of not Amirul Mu'mineen, who is the best of the students of the Prophet, but some of the much lower students of the Prophet, I would say, confidently. In order to ascend, this is the process, brothers and sisters. We've been taught that. The Prophet, after him going through that development, the worships that were given to us, the forms of them, are much simpler than what the Prophet went through in his stages of development. Much simpler. He's given us something, God, through him, has given us something that, although it's simple, it will get you there. You'll start following the tracks of the Prophet. You can reach a point where the Prophet said, Salman minna. He's of us, Ahlul Bayt. Wow. You're not even of the bloodline. Much older when he joined. But Salman minna. We can. The process is just going by the instructions, purifying ourselves. The blessing of guidance that has come to us is an enormous blessing, one that we need to really appreciate, and we don't see us as the nation of the Prophet appreciating this great blessing half as much as we should, or even less than that. We don't consider it to be as important. And the sign is, one of the signs is, we're not taking those instructions seriously on various fronts. I want to refer the second part of the talk, Surah Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by, well, telling us how everything is under His control. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and earth is doing tasbih of Allah, which means I am nothing and you're everything. That's what tasbih means. There is no other ilah but Allah. There's no one that can do anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one that is anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything else is just manifestation of Allah, if that word even carries the meaning that the verse is trying to tell us. But then, after telling us that he was the one that brought to us this Prophet, and that it's such a great blessing, he says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is an abundant, for want of a better word, Fadlullah, something that's given not because of deserving, but it is an abundance that's given without us deserving it. Fadlullah, yu'tihi man yasha' though. He gives it to whomever he wishes. Right? Now we've been given this message, right? After mentioning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts giving us warnings. What type of warning? It's in the language of talking about Banu Israel, the Jews. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. Very strong language. Very strong language. The parable of those who were given the Tawrat, the book of guidance. Allah in Surah Ma'idah says this is light. That was guidance. They were given it to carry. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ. We have been given the Qur'an. Pay attention. This is not for us to say, oh, Jews were bad people. No, this is for us. It's a story that's been given to us and a warning to us. The example of those who were given the Tawrat to carry. We've been given a higher book, the Qur'an, to carry. Now let's listen to what it says. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. They didn't carry it. How did they not carry it? One way, they didn't implement it. They didn't implement it. They didn't go by the teachings of the Torah. And then worse, when they would be reminded by some of the members of that community, based on their responsibility of al-amr bil-ma'roof, enjoining good and forbidding evil, instead of going back and changing their behavior, they would, well, prophets, the greatest examples, the greatest figures that did amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi al munkar were prophets. The Quran is filled with verses, يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاء بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They killed prophets. They couldn't take that criticism. Instead of listening, taking heed, listening to the advice, you have the book, it's with you. This prophet is simply reminding you of that. Instead of listening to the reminder, they plotted and killed those prophets. And they didn't stop there. They changed and altered. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَضَعِهِ. They even changed the meanings of words, something that we're seeing today as well. They changed the meanings of words. I apologize for mentioning this example, but it's important. They've changed the definition of marriage to include an ugly act that an entire nation were wiped off the face of the earth. They call it marriage now. They've legalized it in so many countries. Now they're forcing others. They have, al-ayadu billah, la ilaha illallah. They have, in this institution, they have created themselves, they call it the United Nations, which is the instrument through which their dictatorship is able to dictate their messages to the rest of the world. They have written documents that by 2030, they want all these countries that they got to sign that document and to agree to it, to eventually move towards the acceptance of this evil act. The acceptance of which is such an evil act in itself that the wife of Prophet Lut was punished because of that. The wife of Prophet Lut didn't commit the act. She was okay with it. And when that nation was wiped off the face of the earth, she was also with them, not with the Prophet. She's mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim as an example of bad people. Imra'at Lut and Imra'at Nuh, the wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh. Examples of evil people. They changed the meanings of words. They changed the meanings of the words in the Torah. They didn't they omitted certain, according to some, they omitted as well. Much of the alteration, however, was misinterpretation, changing the meanings of the verses of the Torah. We have to be careful. This isn't to mention and to pat ourselves on the back to say that, oh, we're doing good, alhamdulillah, we're the nation of the Prophet. No, this is a warning to us. That's why it's mentioned in the Quran. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. They understood nothing. It's like a donkey carrying this book. That's how stupid they were. Very strong language. That would be referred to as an insult, yes. They insulted the book of God. You're saying this is an insult? They killed prophets. This is an insult? It's important. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid this? There's many things that should be said, the most simple of which is make sure we're careful that taqwa that is mentioned in the Quran so many times is to be careful of our actions. Follow those instructions. God doesn't have any blood relations, as the hadith says, Imam al-Baqir mentions to Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, لَيْسَ بَيْنَ اللَّهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ قِرَابَةٍ. God is not the relative of anyone to say, okay, I don't care what he does, he's my relative, I'll... No. It's all based on action. You do the right thing, you're going to get the rewards. You do the wrong thing, you're going to get the punishment. Be careful. But there are two points I find in this chapter to be very important in this. Although the language which they are given may not seem to be lines of advice, but I understand them in that way. One is the line which says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. One of the alterations, one of the lies that even up to today they are selling to their own people and to the rest of the world, one way or the other, is to say that we are the chosen people. We are God's friends. We're not going to be punished. God says, if you think that you're God's friends, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, desire death, wish for death. It's not a threat. It's very serious. If you're the wali of Allah, you'll be like Prophet Musa. رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, I want to see you. I've seen all these signs and my heart just can't take it. I want to be closer to you. God, in that verse that I mentioned the first part of, according to the interpretation of Allama Tabatabai, which seems to be legitimate, in the process through which we see, God says, you will not see me. وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّتْ مَقَامَهِ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكًّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Okay. An amazing scene. God said, you can't see me. Watch the mountain. I will manifest in the mountain. If it remains, then you will see me. God manifested, the mountain collapsed. And Moses fell unconscious. Allama Tabatabai says God wanted to tell him that as long as you're in this flesh, you can't see more. If you want liqa of Allah, seeing Allah, you have to leave this flesh. That's why Amirul Mu'mineen says true believers are waiting for the moment to depart this material form, because they want to see Allah. Not that they want to see Jannah, gardens. No. That's not the real believers. You wouldn't long for that. We just read, the brother read beautifully, Ziyarat Aminullah. Mushtaqatan ila farhati liqa'ik. We ask in that ziyarah, the supplication part of it, make me long for, want and desire the joy and the rejoicing of seeing you, which comes with death. This verse says that. تَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ. One of the ways that the verse advises us to help us not get to what they got to, the problems they got to, is to not only remember death, but to long for it. Want it. It's not easy. Try to picture yourself. There were some believers that went to graveyards. They used to do that on a regular basis. Lay down in graves that were dug, or they would dig for themselves. And try to picture themselves on the first night when they've departed this world. It starts with a very scary feeling, but eventually, if Allah helps us and purifies us, you start longing for that. You can't wait for that moment. This is what the verse says. I'm not obviously speaking out of experience. I'm the worst of the worst. And then some believers do even better than that. They long for shahada, which is something found in numerous ziyarat, du'as, du'a al-ahd, both forms of it, the longer version and the shorter version that's referred to as ziyarat of the imam of our time, both of them have this line, waj'alni one way or another, min al-mustashhadina bayna yaday. We ask Allah to give me the tawfiq to be one of the shuhada. We ask Allah. Some believers have taken that very seriously. They ask Allah for that. They really want it. Again, sometimes we read these du'as, and we're just reading the Arabic. We're not really wanting what the lines say. If they would tell us, oh, this is asking for shahada, we'll probably skip that line. Or if we say it, we don't really mean it. God, you know, I don't want that, but the du'a says to read it this way. I want the rizq that's mentioned there. In one of the du'as, Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi in the month of Ramadan used to frequently recite, وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكْ تَحْتَ رَايَةِ نَبِيِّكْ مَعَ وَلِيِّكْ. Give me a death to be killed in your way under the banner of the Prophet with your wali. This is one instruction that we find in this chapter. It's a very important teaching. The other thing is something to avoid, something to be careful of, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the last verse. Recite a salawat, please. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. The Prophet was standing, giving a sermon. This is in Medina. These are the followers of the Prophet. They've seen the signs, they've seen the miracles, they've seen the victories. The Prophet is standing and speaking. Caravan came in with merchandise for sale. In fadlu, they left the Prophet. وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. They left you standing. Be careful of the attachment to the dunya. Be careful. Sometimes, for the dunya, we may not leave the sermon of the Prophet, for the dunya. Because we know if we leave the sermon, I know I'll take out my phone, maybe do a business transaction while I'm listening to the sermon. But I won't leave, because if I leave, that's going to give me a bad name. You know, I need my business. Sometimes even staying in the sermon is dunya. attachment to the dunya is very, it's one of those things that kills the heart. It's the opposite of wanting death and shahada in the way of Allah. Okay, it's the opposite. The reminder in the verse is, which we always need to look at, قُلْ, and believe in this. A lot of times we read the Qur'an, we don't believe in it. If we believe in it, it affects our behavior, it affects our conduct. قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. What God has is better than this. You should not even worry about this. What's this insignificant dunya? مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. And also with regards to the dunya, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. God is the one that provides sustenance, and He's the best at that. Don't think if I lose, oh my God, I'm going to lose this opportunity. No. He will give you better opportunities. That you'll be able to preserve both the dunya and the akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this noble night of Mab'ath, that as the Prophet was raised above and beyond, he was made the Prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the remembrance of the Prophet, the remembrance of Allah, the remembrance of the verses of the Qur'an that started to be revealed on this night onwards, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses us as well and elevates us as well. Without His help, we cannot do this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and protect and prolong the life of all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially those putting their lives on the line to protect Islam and the Muslimin in Iraq and Syria and Palestine, in Lebanon, in Bahrain, in Yemen, and wherever else they are. We ask Allah to protect and prolong the life of all of our ulama who are Rabbani, who are divine, not inspired by the dunya, especially our great Maraja and especially our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Him to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their request to cure all the ill, relieve all those believers who are suffering from hardships and difficulties, especially those suffering from hardships of oppression in Yemen and elsewhere, in Burma and wherever else they're suffering. And we ask Allah, by the return of the Imam of our time, that He relieves all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.